Hello and a warm welcome to Food and Music here on the Isle of Wight. My name is Paul Bell Chambers and this podcast is inspired by the hospitality sector and also the food and drink producers that we have on the island. And I think it's an important part, or certainly a part of why the island was given a UNESCO biosphere status recently. So there are some exciting things going on. It's very vibrant. And I'll be talking to many of the people involved in it from the food and drink side and also in the hospitality sector. We'll try and understand what they do, how they do and why they do it, what got them into it, and try and learn a little bit about them and get some music selection from them as well. So I hope you enjoy the episodes and enjoy the series. Hello and a warm welcome to this third episode of the Food and Music IOW podcast. I'm your host, Paul Bell Chambers. And this episode I'm talking to Claire and Liam Ead, who run the Blueberries Cafe in Shanklin. And it's a family-run cafe, and it was before they took it on as well. So they've kept that whole thing going, which is fantastic. Had a few challenges, like we all have, from sort of 2017 onwards. But they've made a real go of it, and I think what you're going to hear you'll enjoy. And they've got some great music track selection as well. So without further ado, I'll just get on in with the first part of the interview. I'm here in Shanklin, and had a lovely drive over the west coast road, the military road, and a very sunny morning, which was lovely to see. And I'm here with Claire and Liam Ead, who own and run Blueberries Cafe. So thank you for having me and welcome me in. Lovely cup of tea. So
you're welcome.
I'd like to talk to you about how and where Blueberries came from and all that sort of good stuff. So as I noticed from your website, it's got its roots in a family business, and you yes. started in 2017. So what was behind the decision to buy the business and take on the challenges of this hospitality industry?
So we just, we were both working at the same company at the time, and both felt that we'd stagnated a little bit and that we'd reached a point in our lives where we really wanted to do something for ourselves, and we weren't getting any younger. So we thought, now or never, we need to go for it. A friend of ours mentioned that Blueberries was up for sale. We'd known it for a long, long time. When our kids were little, I used to take them there with my mum and dad for ice creams and drinks and things. And it actually been there years before, because when I was little, I remember it, because my grandparents lived along... Yeah,
so
exactly. Wow,
there.
I'm old.
Because
my grandparents lived along the cliff path.
It was built originally in the 60s. Wow. Originally in the back garden of the place behind. So it's been there a good few years.
So we ummed and ahed and decided to take the leap. My family had been in hospitality of various guises since I can remember. Guest houses, hotels, all sorts of things that involved hospitality. So I sort of grew up in and around the industry. Worked in it a few years ago, then left and did various other jobs and life things. And then, yeah, we just decided we'd go for it and see what happened.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It's always that fear of the unknown, isn't it? And it's to actually take that step over that.
Yeah.
that decision to go into something completely different.
It was very scary, especially as it was both of us. You know, it wasn't one of us out getting a wage while the other one, you know, to prop this up.
Yeah.
It was a real leap.
Yeah.
I mean, business that when we purchased it wasn't really a business at the time. It was that people didn't know when it was going to be open and closed. Sundays it wouldn't open. On bright sunny days, other days it would just be, you know, when they felt like it. And it was just, it was one of these things that there was no consistency there.
Mm.
And, you know, we went up there a few times and it was closed on beautiful sunny days.
Yeah.
And you think, well, why? You know, with a view like it's got.
Yeah, the location,
you know,
is
I mean,
perfect.
Idyllic. It's car park right alongside it and stuff, and it's perfect. We think, you know, what a great place. Why isn't why hasn't anybody ever done something with it?
It's brilliant. I noticed you said you had a sort of a very sort of quiet beginning period to that. How did that change, or why did that change, do you think?
I don't really know. We just obviously my mum and dad were a big part when we began as well.
Yeah.
Mum was baking the cakes. Dad was our shopper. So they'd come up in the morning. I just remember us both having our books.
Well, we used to
sit outside.
We used to open at 8 a.m. Because in our heads we thought, oh, we might get, you know, construction traffic,
whatever,
and people going off to work and wanting a bacon bap or whatever on their way to work. So we started opening at 8 o'clock, and for the first year we did 7 days a week. And it started out the first few weeks, we weren't seeing anybody until like 10 o'clock in the morning. And we'd
just sit with mum and dad.
And have a cup of coffee and, you know, just catch up, you know, on the night before kind of thing. And I think people just could see that when we said we were going to be open, we were open. So whether it be pouring with rain, whether it be a bright sunny day, whether it be a windy day, if it was a day that we said we were going to be open at 8 o'clock, we were there at 8 o'clock, open, ready for business.
And we then started picking up regulars, didn't we? And I think then those regulars told their friends. And you know, word of mouth on the island's everything. So I think that's how it started to be okay.
Good. Well, you both look happy on it. I can tell that.
Just love working together as well. We've done it for a number of years, obviously before Blueberries, and you know, and people say, oh, how can you work with your wife? Yeah. And so why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, you trust them with your life, why wouldn't you trust them with your business? Do you know what I mean?
That's very true. Just,
for me, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, works really well for us.
Yeah. Good.
Really works.
Good. On the thorny subject of songs,
okay.
I you've given me a list. So, what your first choice is?
Cake by the Ocean.
And there's a
self-explanatory.
It is, isn't it? Okay.
Perfect song to sum us up.
Okay.
You can come. We're known for our cakes, and you can come and eat cake whilst looking at the lovely ocean.
Okay. So. All right. So coming up now, we have Cake by the Ocean. Well, that was the toe-tapping Cake by the Ocean by DNCE, and that certainly got my feet going, that's for sure. You can tell there that Claire and Liam are a lovely couple. They really work well together, and the commitment they've shown to the business from when they started is amazing. And I wanted to know how they'd sort of grown the business, even through the challenges of the pandemic and so on. I was really interested to see how they managed that. So we'll carry on with the conversation.
From my perspective, you've been very much as a family business. But how and why did you increase the team? What were the decisions behind, or what made you take that road rather than staying as a family business?
Well, we just, to be honest, it was just the volume of people. We the busier we got, we had to increase our team members. Mum and dad obviously aren't getting any younger, bless them. And unfortunately, mum's in poor health now, so she's unable to make the cakes. So that's all down to me now. All the baking's down to me, which
you're the cake queen.
I'm the cake person now. I don't know if I'm top dog, but I like baking.
Yeah.
I really like baking.
We'll have to share recipes.
Though. Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of our recipes are
very old family ones, which is nice for me as well, that I get to bake things that I made when I was little, and it keeps the connection with my grandmum alive, and it just keeps it all family traditions going too. And you don't want to lose those, do you? So I like making all the family ones and seeing people enjoy them as well. Yeah.
Obviously, we have new. We try to bring in new flavors when we can, that are obviously in the family archives, and it's just people love the fact that it is family orientated. I mean,
not all of them, obviously, but many
90% of them are, and it's just, you know, I didn't grow up with them, but I've got a passion because I know how Claire feels about them. Yeah. And, you know, when I turn around and say how many flavours we've got to people, they're like, oh, my God, like that. And it's just...
But that's another reason why we had to increase the team, in that I was running the kitchen initially. So I'd be in the kitchen, mum would be baking, and it got to the point where I just couldn't split myself in lots of different places. I was finding it really hard.
Yeah.
So we got a lad in the kitchen, Ben, on an apprenticeship.
That's good.
He's fab, absolutely amazing. He's such a lovely lad. Mm. He just fitted in straight away, didn't he?
He's like a duck to water.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
But I think that approach is by far and away the best thing that could happen for any small hospitality business that is growing, is to actually do that, take on an apprentice and bring them through the business.
And it's also nice to see young people with aspirations and wanting to do well. You know, they get such a bad rap. Everyone, many people feel that the youngsters aren't worth a lot and don't have any ambition, but
you give them the time, the effort. Don't get me wrong, they need guidance, they need a little bit of encouragement, they need a little bit of a pat on the back going, look, you know, yes, you're going to make mistakes, but don't let that stop you. You've got a passion behind it.
I know.
Go for it. Yeah. And I mean, Ben,
sometimes we find really good recipes for mistakes.
Serendipity happens. Yeah. Out of mistake comes something interesting.
He's
Great. He like I said, he's fitted in absolutely perfect, and you know
he completed his level 2, and he's now moving on to his level 3 now.
That's brilliant. I think it's fabulous that you're doing that, because always small businesses kind of don't have the bandwidth or don't have necessarily the resources to move into that in that direction.
But I think
it's great when you hear this sort of story.
Keeps my mum thing going. Well, I was all grown up now, so I'm like, oh, good, somebody else to fuss over.
A lot of small businesses get into the preconception that, oh, I haven't got time to teach somebody.
Mm.
Why?
Mm.
You know, it doesn't take all of the time. A lot of the time, the apprentices watch you. They learn from what you're doing.
I was like that. That's how I learned.
And I think a lot of people forget that. They think that they've got to be with them 24/7, saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do this. Not thinking that they're going to be, being able to look and learn for themselves. Yeah. And, you know, that's made a big difference.
Then we took another lad, Mason, on front of house. So he's with Liam out the front, and he's fab too. The customers adore him. He's got a real way with the customers that they love. They love his little banter.
Part of it is me. I relate to what you're saying totally, and I think it's great. There's always that bit where at some point they might want to move on, and that's the bit where it gets a bit hard, I think.
Yes. Well, this is what happened in the first instance, wasn't it? There was a lad that lived nearby when we first opened, and he used to cycle past and ask Liam if he wanted any help putting the chairs and tables away at the end of the day.
Right.
And then the following year, we said, oh, do you want to come and help us out? So he did a year out the front, and he was only 15 at the time.
Mm.
Then he came in the kitchen with me, and he was there till he was 19.
Mm.
And then last year he came back again.
We see him growing.
Yeah, we saw him grow
up. Confidence grow. Yeah. And
that's the key word, confidence.
Then, it was fantastic.
And then the day he left to go and get a proper, he had a proper job, and I was really pleased with him.
But yours is a proper job. It's natural progression.
He went into engineering. Yeah. He went into engineering and... Oh my goodness, it broke my heart.
He will never forget the time that he spent what he learnt.
He comes back in at least twice a week, comes in and sees us, always comes in, gives her a hug.
Comes up here for dinner in the summer.
That's great.
He's a great lad.
But so we took Mason on out the front with you. He's fantastic. He's flourished.
Mm.
You know, like you say, when they come to you, you see them grow in confidence, like you say, you know, working with the public, just having to talk to people, just brings them out of themselves. And it's so lovely to see. And now we've taken another apprentice. We've now got 3 apprentices, and we've got Ethan in the kitchen, who's now under Ben. So Ben's now doing his level 3, which is supervisory, like a management thing. So he's now got Ethan that he can now...
pass on.
Yeah, and it's lovely to see everybody's dynamics and to see Ben get a little bit of more confidence by showing somebody else what to do, you know, but it's all done, everyone gets on, there's no shouting, you know.
Everybody just literally goes in there as a full team, and it's brilliant. It's not... you know, nobody's singled out like, oh, we're there, they only do that job. It's... everybody mucks in and helps each other out. And if somebody's having a bit of a down day, because everybody does have a down day, everybody else is behind them going, no, it's all right, come on, we can do this. And it's so lovely to see. And obviously Mum then comes out and she's all like, oh, it's lovely. It's really funny. It's lovely. But
So we're really pleased with how the apprenticeships are going.
That's brilliant.
It's nice to be part of their journey and, fast forward 10 years, let's see where they're going to end up.
And that probably wasn't something you anticipated when you took the business on.
Not
so
at all.
There's something that you've got out of that already.
Yeah.
And that's in
the first 6 years. The first round of, I'll call them the kids, the first round of kids that we had were friends of family and et cetera, et cetera. And it was their children. They came in, they were with us. And I mean, we've still got one of those now. She's been there, what, 5 and a bit years?
Yeah.
Gracie, isn't
it?
And this, we know that this is going to be her last year, so we've obviously had to kind of say goodbye each time one gets to that age, and it's difficult, but it's lovely because you know that they've progressed to that point where they've grown so much from this little shy little thing that could barely go out and take a tray of drinks out to somebody to this person that is now going out in the big wide world and can do pretty much whatever they want, and it's a lovely thing when you see the confidence grow like that.
I agree. I love that. I like that particular aspect, and I think it's great when you give them the opportunity for somebody to grow, and develop skills that aren't necessarily part of what they might want to become in the future, but helps them as a person.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That's fabulous.
Yes.
We'd recommend it to any small business, definitely.
Yeah. Cool. That's great.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that's great to hear from a small business, and I think it's a wonderful thing. Now, second song.
Summer Holiday, Cliff
Richard. I wonder why.
Exactly. I mean, everybody knows Summer Holiday.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it, and it always evokes those thoughts of being on a summer holiday.
Exactly. So we'll have that now, Summer Holiday from Cliff Richard. Well, there we go. That was a bit of fun. I just had visions of that double-decker bus, having heard that again from Summer Holiday from Cliff Richard. Claire and Liam talked about how the business has changed. And I wanted to get a bit more into why they've grown the sort of cakes and how that's come about in terms of the range and the flavours that they have. So we'll carry on and listen to them talking about that. You mentioned the range of cakes and sometimes some accidental experimental versions of flavours that turned into a success. I guess one of the questions, because I think I saw on the website you have something like 150 different flavours or range of cakes. So have you noticed any trends in the popular flavours? Because I know from my cooking days, the cupcakes were a real fad. Are they still going, or is that trend dying?
So we don't tend to do cupcakes. There's lots of places that do have cupcakes.
Yeah.
It's just not something... I don't know why we didn't go down that route. I think just because we had so many other things to do.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's not best to follow a trend because you don't
and
want
I,
to be...
I also feel for us that we were very conscious that it's not about necessarily things that we'd want to eat when we go out, but more about knowing the demographic of your customers.
Yeah.
You have to provide things that they like to eat.
Yeah.
So we've gone for, not just with our cakes, but on our menu, we've gone for very traditional, if you like, cafe food. We don't proclaim to be fancy or out of the ordinary. We're just honest, home-cooked food.
Yeah.
That's what you'll get
cooked
with us.
Cooked to order,
so there will be a wait, but everything's cooked fresh. And that seems to work for us. People seem to like that. If we do try and put anything a little bit... Sometimes we found that if we do a special maybe that is a current trend, people don't want it.
That
is interesting.
Again, reinforced that to us that we don't have the right customer base to do that sort of
thing. But if you do, we do, obviously, over the winter period, we do homemade soups.
Yeah.
We do, macaroni cheese, but it's all homemade.
Yeah.
And things like that, because people know what they're looking at, they love to try it.
Yeah.
Wow, this is fantastic. But like you say, when you put
it's just home cooks.
But when you put something a little bit unusual on, It's quite comical.
No, I know. I have that trouble because I like to do some things differently. And yeah, I've had a client who definitely didn't want anything different. They just wanted bog standard burgers and chips, that type of thing. And that's fine, but I just thought. Yeah.
Sometimes it's nice to mix it up. I mean, there's certain cakes that obviously Claire's done, things like the key lime pie cake, for argument's sake. People know what a key lime pie is, so it's a dessert, it's a pie. But we've turned it into a cake, so it's a big three-tier cake.
Wow.
And it is exactly like a key lime pie. But it's people, when they see it, they're like, oh, wow, this is incredible. But in the head, before they see it, they think it's a dessert dish.
We try not to go by what's trendy. We try to go by what we think people are going to like.
Yeah.
And tend to go. It was quite interesting, actually. A few years ago, I think it may have been just before COVID, we have a break in November normally, and we did a poll before we came back. On our opening weekend, we're going to let you guys choose the flavours. Tell us your favourite flavours.
There's going to be five cakes in the fridge. You pick the top five flavours.
The top three we wanted.
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, we thought, oh, I wonder what they're going to be. I wonder what because obviously we have quite a lot of flavours. Victoria Sponge was number one. Coffee and walnut was two. Chocolate fudge was three.
Unfortunately, human nature just doesn't change.
We'll
go with what we know.
And you can't stray away from giving people the classic flavours that they know and love.
But I think it's fabulous that you've got such a range, because I think that actually makes it interesting, especially with the holiday makers, because they probably come away with an idea of wanting to do things differently.
Even though
it might just be a bucket and spade holiday, but
we're always open as well. If people are coming in a certain date, we're always open to them messaging us and saying, look, I really like the look of, I don't know, the trifle cake.
Yeah.
Any chance that while we're here, you could put that on? Brilliant. We're always open to that. And they can just drop us a message, give us the dates, and we'll try and pop it on.
It helps us as well, because in the summer, Claire's normally doing between 7 and 9 cakes a day. So when people do message in and say, oh, is there any chance you could do this flavour of cake? It takes one cake out of our brain that we're thinking, what can we put on?
It's like doing dinners at home. You say to everyone, what do you want for dinner? It's like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like that with the cakes. Oh, what do I put on? So when people ask for it, I'm like, oh, okay, thank you.
It gives you a steer, which is great. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, as we stand at the minute, we've got 167 flavours.
167.
And then we've got the sweet treats as well.
All the sweet treats are on top of that as well. So, I mean, there's probably about...
We've got strawberry and vanilla, or vanilla and strawberry.
Switch it round. Yeah. Nobody will notice. I love it. Okay, that's brilliant. I'm going to have to come and try some of these cakes.
Yeah, please
do. I'm going to have to do that. Okay, look forward to that. Moving on from the conversation about the range of cakes, it's now a question of how do they manage the whole ingredients things, how much they need, the quantities, when, and all the rest of it, working seasonally and so on. So that's the next part of the conversation. So over to Claire and Liam. I'm thinking about cakes at the moment now. I've just got cakes in my head. I'm not the biggest cake maker, but I do like making cakes and my desserts as well. So.
Yeah, I like desserts.
You mentioned that obviously you've the summer season is the busy time, and where everybody has to be in and doing the job as needed. But from the point of view of the winter time, obviously there's not as much being sold. So there's a couple of thoughts occur: managing ingredients for the busy time and managing it for the slower time, and what else do you do in the slower time that might feed into next season's busy time? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
so
cool.
During the winter, I always say this to the boys, we're always very time rich in the winter.
Yeah.
So that's when we, and I try and involve them as well. We sort of play around with new flavours and do some experimenting, and sometimes they don't work, but that's fine because they get to eat the things that didn't work so well. Yeah, well, they're glad of that, so they're quite happy. Then we say, you're gonna make something else now then. I do, that's when I sort of come up with some new flavors and try them out, not just the cakes but the sweet treats and things like that. So in the summer, forget it. In the summer, I'm not trying anything new. It's just
full on.
Yeah, absolutely full on. You just put your head down and get through each day. We don't even look to next week. We just literally get through the day in the summer.
We just we normally do a list. We normally do a list, a weekly list of the cakes that we're going to put on.
Yeah.
And then it depends on the day if and when we can pull in another one, and we adapt it like that and drag it from the next day, so bring the ingredients forward and do it that way.
You've got to manage all the cream teas as well, you've got to manage all that as well.
I mean, that's a lot of flour and a lot of sugar and butter and all the rest of it. I mean, I know it's, from what I do, buying those ingredients and making sure you get the right quantity is, I mean, okay, some is dried, so that's fine, that lasts a bit longer, but obviously other stuff is fresh stuff, and it's managing that from a cost point of view.
Yes, exactly. You don't want stock. And we don't want stock sitting there holding, like you say, tied up, money tied up. Yeah. So it's just being organized and just knowing inside out what you're going to need and making sure that you're managing that really well.
And a lot of it is the cakes that you're making, can you use ingredients out of that one in another one that you're making at the same time, and doing it that way rather than doing two completely different cakes that, you know, you can't use similar ingredients and things like that. That makes a big difference as well. And again, people don't think like that a lot of the time. You know,
we're very lucky in that the menu we have doesn't produce much waste.
Good.
Yeah.
We were very careful to make sure that we designed it like that as well. Right.
That's the biggest challenge, I think, for any food business, is managing the input and maximising the output.
But it's not just the cost of the ingredients that you're throwing away, it's the cost of getting rid of it as well.
Yes, exactly.
So, if you've got one bin bag that's just full of rubbish that you've made a mistake on and things like that, then you're not only losing the money in the product, you're losing the money that you're paying somebody to take your rubbish away as well.
It's the same, everyone's obviously very conscious at the moment about the cost of living and the food prices in our daily lives and in our business lives. And I think you just need to apply the same to your business that you do at home. You know, if you've got things that are coming to their use-by date, then you come up with a special that you can incorporate those in so that you don't waste them like you would at home. You use up your leftovers. Yeah. You know, it's just about being
very practical as well.
Yeah,
I mean, thinking on your feet whilst you're.
I know. I mean, when I did all the training to learn to be a cook/chef. That was 2 years of night school.
Yeah.
But what I didn't realise then, when I'd done all of that, I've got built up the skills and everything else. Actually, I spend more time doing spreadsheets.
Absolutely.
And so on. It's all the logistics and the management and all that sort of stuff that actually sits behind. Yeah. So your actual cooking amount is, in your business, is probably only about 20% of the time.
Definitely.
The rest of it is management.
I always say to Leo, day running the cafe is a joy.
Yeah.
You know, you go in, you chat to people, you do your cooking, you're baking.
Yeah.
Baking in the morning, then you open the doors. It's all the bits that go behind that wear you out, that grind you down, because you've done the day's work, then you've got to come home and do all that, you know. And it's
about making sure you can get the products when you need the products. Sourcing the products from the right place you're trying to do it right. You know, like all the cakes are like done to this standard. They've got to be that standard. So wherever you get the products from, they've got to meet that standard.
But it's another thing with the apprentices. They learn that side of it because they're seeing it on a day-to-day basis. Because the other day we were discussing, I wanted them to come up with some new specials for the summer. And they were coming up with ideas. And they had a few ideas. But I had to then explain to them why some of them weren't suited to us. And why, and show them why. And I said to them, you have to think about things that we'd have the ingredients for already that we can turn into a special. We don't want to be buying in special items and then wasting them if the special didn't go.
Yeah.
I said, so for them as well, it's a good way of them learning on the job. Learn about the cooking, but they're also learning the business side of it as well, without them writing spreadsheets, doing sums on paper. They're seeing the day-to-day implications of those decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I spent a bit of time in a a sort of Michelin star, well, not sort of, it is a Michelin star kitchen. But I know the guys, this is just work experience, but I know the guys who are running this, and you work on a particular station, depending on how the head chef rosters you.
Yes.
But you are responsible for the costs of what goes out on the plate.
Yeah.
And if you don't have enough, and you have to get more, it comes out your pocket, not the rest of us.
It sounds a horrible way of learning. It's a good way. You learn quickly. Learning,
isn't it? you only make that mistake once.
I'm not sure that's allowed anymore.
No,
it may not be, but no, I
but
think
it's a good way. You're right.
It is a good way of learning.
I mean, the guys, once it's down on paper and they see it, and they come up with the idea and things like that, and then they obviously chat about it, and then there's input for front of house saying, you know, okay, this might work if we did it like this. However, then Claire comes in and says, well, you know, you've got to think of this way. They can see it not only as it is practically in front of them, but they can see how it would work in that type of situation.
And then that carries on through to their daily life, though, because then they can implement that in their daily life with their meal prepping at home. You know, they can turn it into a life skill as well, which is good.
And that's important, I think, absolutely. Oh, well, thank you very much for that. Third song.
Third song is...
Let me think.
Okay. I think it's Fleetwood Mac.
It is, yes, Fleetwood Mac.
Okay, so we both love Fleetwood Mac. And the last time we managed to get to the Isle of Wight Festival was when Fleetwood Mac were playing. We weren't going to miss that for anything. It didn't matter if it took us a week to get over it.
Which it did. However,
that was a few years ago, and we're a bit older now, and...
It takes us two weeks now.
Any Isle of Wight festivals while we're running the CAF, because we can't go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning and get up at four anymore. So this is just to remind us that you have to make sacrifices when you're in business, and it's worth it, we hope.
You need the downtime as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. The final part of the conversation was really around being online, getting reviews and all this sort of thing. But I just wanted also to congratulate them for winning an award in the Red Funnel Awards last November 2022, which is a fantastic accolade for them, because, as you can tell, they're pretty dedicated and they're also want to enjoy it and have a lot of fun while they're doing it. So I can imagine it's a good laugh a day at work there. So here's the last part of that conversation. Congratulations for the award from Red Funnel. The awards that was that? That was, was that end of last year?
Yeah, just November.
I saw that. So, and obviously you use things like TripAdvisor and Google and so on. I mean, it's always a tricky one, I think, for some businesses to put that themselves out there, because I use the Google side sometimes. I'm not too sure about some of the other ones, but in terms of the reviews that you're getting, I mean, I think that must be gives you quite a big feeling and quite a good justification or a powerful indication that you're doing the right things.
It's really, I can't tell you how good TripAdvisor and Google reviews are. And the Red Fund Awards was just amazing. It was so overwhelming, really. It was unbelievable. We were so thrilled, weren't we?
Certainly didn't imagine that would happen.
We're just thrilled to make the top three, and then to win it was fantastic. And not just for us, but for the whole team, because they, like, you know, we've talked about it a lot over our conversation about the youngsters, but they really do put 100% into their job. And so for them, it's nice to get some positive feedback and just see that their hard work is recognised as well.
It's not just the apprentices that we've talked about. It's the youngsters that are out the front that are, you know, taking the food out, running the teas and coffees. You know, they interact with the customers, and the customers, you know, interact with them, and it's a great team effort.
And it's nice for them to get some positive review. But yeah, the TripAdvisor and Google reviews really do. You know, people go on holiday, they go on TripAdvisor, where are we going to go for breakfast? Where are we going to go for cake? Yep. And if you're getting positive reviews, then that's going to send them...
Which is
great. And we're very grateful to people who take the time to pop a review on, because we know, you know, it's not... It takes your time to do it. It can be an effort. We're very appreciative that people do that. And it does help small businesses, again, that we don't have a big budget for advertising. You know, small businesses don't have that money, and so this is a really good way, I suppose, to utilize the free the free marketing, if you like.
Yeah.
So yeah, they are extremely helpful.
And I mean, how much do they help you in changing any sort of standards that you might have for what you what you're doing? Do they influence in how you change your?
I think if you read, you know, if you read a review and it says that, you know, the a particular person wasn't particularly happy with XYZ, and then somebody else says it, then you know that there's a something that you need to look at.
Yeah.
So then you can say, well, okay, what, how can we do that better?
Mm.
You know, it's I mean, our TripAdvisor have been very, very good. I mean, some of them have been, you know, so overwhelmingly positive. It kind of makes you think. Well,
you always get the negative, you know, ones, you, but you can't please everybody.
No,
but you,
no,
but you know, so. But you know that if you're getting several positive ones, then you must be doing something right. So then you can feed that back to the staff and the team, and you can say, look, you know, have a read of this, you know, and we do. We
but let
you tell them to read it, and then they feel positive that they're going, oh yeah, well, I was working that day, and et cetera, et cetera. And it goes on from there. And it's,
but if there was some negative, you know, if there was negative comments, we definitely look to see if they were valid and whether we could, you know, implement something to change that. And we're always open to some criticism. That's fine. It's how you improve, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't want to stagnate and just bumbling along the same.
So we said right at the very beginning that we wanted the cafe to be somewhere that we would want to go. To be relaxed, to be enjoyable of the view, of the food, of the atmosphere, of music, etc., etc. And that's how we wanted it to be. And, you know, and if that needed to slightly change, then that's what needs to be. But
it kind of has become more of a cafe. It's more of a, almost become a bit of a community centre sometimes. You know, so many, we've got so many regulars and so many locals who support us all through the winter. And without them, you know, I don't think we'd be keeping going.
Yeah,
they keep us going all winter. And they, there's people who have met at Blueberries who now are friends and come up
together, you know, and meet together. Up on it's certain days lovely. And things like that. I mean, it's, that's, you know, good. They've come up as a couple that wanted a cup of tea and a slice of cake, and now there's six or eight of them come up and meet on certain day, and they all meet together, and all the husbands are chatting and that lot, which they would never have done if where they were before.
Nice, and it's you know, it's rewarding for us to see that as well. It's nice to have that environment, I think, to work in all day. It's nice to have that. So it's I definitely think that it's become a bit of a community hub rather than just a cafe, which is lovely. It's superseded what we set out to do.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I got down here, I was going to ask you, if you weren't running Blueberries, what would you do? But I'm not sure I'd get an answer for that.
I don't know. All the things we can't do while we're running Blueberries.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I don't know. I can't imagine not running Blueberries.
See, that's an amazing change after 6 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think we would have said that after probably 3 years.
Yeah.
We would have said the same thing, purely the fact that because it's hard work. It's really, really hard work. More so for Claire because of everything that she has to do.
Yeah.
But as a team, mainly obviously us two, it's lovely to be able to go to work and enjoy going to work.
Mm.
You know, you might see the same person every day, you know, of a customer. But every day is different.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're worried if you don't see them, you think, well,
it's lovely. It's a real nice, you can't say that about many jobs, that you can go to work and you can actually say, do you know what, I enjoy going to work.
Yeah.
You know, with that's the view fun. That we've got, with the customers that we have, and the whole atmosphere that has been created and is there.
And everyone moans and says that I'm a feeder, so I'm in the perfect
world. Yes.
Well, on that wonderful note of feeding people, that's fabulous. I think that's great. Okay, so last song. Why?
Shake, Rattle and Roll by Bill Haley in the comments. I think this is probably one of the first songs that was played at Blueberries while we sat reading our books, having a coffee, wondering if ever a customer will come and see us.
Yes.
And so it all, if wherever we are and we hear this song, it always makes us feel like we stood behind the counter at the cafe making coffees and serving cake.
On the first day we opened, having that playing and thinking, what have we done?
Yes. I know that feeling. I think that's fabulous. And there you are. There's a sort of a history that's there. It's never going to go away.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's with fabulous. Us, and it will stay with us because it's very memorable.
Well, thank you very much, both of you, for your time today and your hospitality. I've really enjoyed talking to you today. It's been a lot of fun.
I certainly look forward to coming
down to Blueberries and see what odd flavour of cake you've got to try and see what
comes down.
Thank you very much for listening. And I would really like to thank Claire and Liam for their time, their hospitality, and just their endless enthusiasm and passion for what they do. I think if you get a chance to visit the cafe, I'm sure you'll A, enjoy the food, and B, just enjoy being there. And take a look at their website, Blueberries Cafe IOW, and that's Blueberries Cafe IOW.com. So thanks again, Claire and Liam. A lot of fun, and hopefully see you down there sometime this summer. Just a little bit of news. Some of you may have spotted that there is a new food festival scheduled for the 9th and 10th of September at Northwood House, and it's called The Great White Bite. I'm really looking forward to that weekend, and I'm hoping to do an interview or a chat with the team that have put the show together, and that will be a special episode coming up sometime soon. The next episode is with Russ and Philippa from Ashstone Vineyard, and they were one of the stars of that TV series, recent series on Channel 5, I think it was. We'll get that out on the air sometime soon. So thank you very much for listening, and thanks for subscribing, and look forward to talking to you again with the next couple of episodes. Take care. Bye. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Food and Music Podcast. Very pleased that you took the time to do that, and so grateful for your ears. Thank you very much indeed. I've got some more exciting episodes planned coming up over the next few weeks and months. And if you would like to share this podcast with friends or family, it's available on Spotify, Amazon, Google, or Apple, and a couple of other platforms. So thank you very much for doing that. And I really appreciate your time, and look forward to you listening again to the next episodes of the podcast.